Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 1, Chapter entitled Genealogical Table of the Daughters of Manu. Text number 30.
Deva Uchu.
Deva Uchu.
Yatakritaste sankalpo.
Yatakritaste sankalpo.
Bhavyam te naiva nanyata.
Bhavyam te naiva nanyata.
Sat sankalpasya te brahman.
Sat sankalpasya te brahman.
Yadvai jayati te vayam.
Yadvai jayati te vayam.
Deva uchu.
Deva uchu.
The demigods replied,
Yata,
as,
Krita, done, Te,
by you,
Sankalpa,
determination,
Pavyam,
to be done,
Tena Eva,
by that,
Na Anyata,
not otherwise.
Satsankalpasya,
one whose determination is never lost.
Te,
of you.
Brahman,
O dear Brahmana.
Yat,
that which.
Vai,
certainly.
Jayati,
meditating.
Te,
all of them.
Vayam,
we are.
We are.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The three deities told Atri Muni, Dear Brahmana, you are perfect in your determination and therefore, as you have decided, so it will happen. It will not happen otherwise. We are all the same person upon whom you are meditating and therefore, we have all come to you. Translation responsibly. The three deities told Atri Muni.
Three deities told Atri Muni.
Dear Brahmana.
Dear Brahmana.
You are perfect in your determination.
You are perfect in your determination.
And therefore, as you have decided.
And therefore, as you have decided.
So it will happen.
So it will happen.
It will not happen otherwise.
It will not happen otherwise.
We are all the same person upon you. We are all the same person.
We are all the same person.
Upon whom you were meditating.
Upon whom you were meditating.
And therefore we have all come to you.
And therefore we have all come to you.
Purport. Atri Muni unspecifically thought of the personality of Godhead, the Lord of the universe, although he had no clear idea of the Lord, nor the universe, nor his specific form. Mahavishnu, from whose breathing millions of universes emanate, and into whom they are again withdrawn, may be accepted as the Lord of the universe. Gabadakshaya Vishnu, from whose abdomen sprouted the lotus flower, which is the birthplace of Brahma, may also be considered the Lord of the universe. Similarly, Shiradakshaya Vishnu, who is the supersoul of all living entities, may also be considered the Lord of the universe. Then, under the order of Shiradakshaya Vishnu, the Vishnu form within this universe, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva may also be accepted as the lords of the universe. Vishnu is the lord of the universe because he is the maintainer. Similarly, Brahma creates the different planetary systems and the population. So he also may be considered the lord of the universe. Or Lord Shiva, who is ultimately the destroyer of the universe, may also be considered its lord. Therefore, since Atri Muni did not specifically mention whom he wanted, all three, Brahma, Vishnu, and Lord Shiva, came before him. They said, since you were thinking of having a son exactly like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of the universe, your determination will be fulfilled. In other words, one's determination is fulfilled according to the strength of one's devotion. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Yanti Deva Brata Devan Pitrin Yanti Pitra, Pitri Brata. If one is attached to a particular demigod, one is promoted to the abode of that demigod. If one is attached to the Pitas, or forefathers, one is promoted to their planet. And similarly, if one is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, one is promoted to the abode of Lord Krishna. Atri Muni had no clear conception of the Lord of the universe. Therefore, the three presiding deities, who are actually the lords of the universe, in the three departments of the modes of nature, all came before him. Now, according to the strength of his determination for a son, his desire would be fulfilled by the grace of the Lord. Omigyan timidandashya gananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam stapitam jena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam didati swa padantikam. Vancha kaupata rubyascha kripa sindhu bi evacha petitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Hare. Too much noise coming from somewhere. Which child is that? If they're quiet, they can stay, but if they're making noise, they have to go outside. Oh, it's too hard to concentrate. Okay. Well, too distracting, otherwise. Okay. See you, Papa. Yeah, this is the austerity of the Grihastha ashram. Okay, so. This is also the subject matter of this particular verse, populating the universe. In other words, Grihastha ashram. Prabhupada says in the very first purport of the Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Verse 1, in the purport, Prabhupada says, sex life is the active principle of the material world. The whole thing is only going on for one purpose, because it's sexual pleasure. Right? If there's no sex life in the material world, the whole thing stops. It only goes on for that reason. If there's no sex life, people will not be enthused to do anything. Right? If sex life is there, they will tolerate almost anything. They'll do so much austerity for sex life. But if it is not there, then people cannot do austerity. So that is why the material world is continuing on and on and on. The original sexual attraction is called Adi Ras. The Adi Ras is the original attraction between the original male and the original female. So that is Radha Krishna. That is the original Adi Ras. In this world, it is a perverted reflection of the original Rasa. Because Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, and he enjoys conjugal pastimes with the gopis, with the queens, with Srimati Radharani, and all of her expansions. That is reality. No? That is God, his own energy, enjoying eternally in reality. That's God's prerogative. That's how he desires to enjoy. He can enjoy like that. In the material world, when we come here, we try to imitate the original enjoyer. And when we come to the material world, we take on Purusha Bhav. Because there is only one Purush. He is the Adi Purush. Or the Mahapurush. That is Krishna. He's the only enjoyer. Everyone else is Prakriti. We are meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. But when we come into the material world under the influence of our false ego, then we think, I am the enjoyer. Right? And we take on a Purusha Bhav. Everything is meant for my enjoyment. Ishwaroham, aham bhogi. Siddhoham, balavan, sukhi. Ishwara, I am the Ishwara. I am the controller. I am the Purusha. If you want to enjoy, you have to control. If you don't have control, then you can't enjoy. Just like if the government locks you in the jail, you don't have control. So you can't enjoy. That's why they put you there. Right? You are penalized. Right? So that is called Ishwara above. Ishwara means we have to be able to control. If we want to be an enjoyer, bhoga. The problem is in the material world is that everyone is enjoying the bhoga before it is offered to Krishna. That is not the system. The system in the spiritual world is that everyone will only accept prasad. They will not enjoy something unless it has been first accepted by Krishna and enjoyed by Krishna. In the material world, we try to imitate Krishna. Therefore, we take the bhoga for ourselves. We don't offer the food ourselves. Just like sometimes as devotees, we travel somewhere and we go somewhere and we see something. Or you go to your parents' place in Germany, or Botswana, or Ethiopia, or wherever you're from. So you go back. But then they don't offer the food to Krishna. And sometimes because we're devotees, we're offering our bhoga every day to Krishna. When we see that, it becomes like very strange to us. It's like going into a foreign environment or a alien environment. People not offering the food to Krishna? It's very strange. That's how you feel as a devotee. Because we're so locked in to doing seva to Krishna. Then when we go outside of that, back into the material world, then it becomes very strange. Actually, if you're engaged in devotional service, jivan mukta, actually you're liberated. You're a liberated soul. When your words, your thoughts, your activities are being engaged in Krishna's service, you are jivan mukta. You're not in this world. Devotees are not actually in this world anymore. They're liberated from this world. One time, 1968, in ISKCON, there were only 80 devotees. That was the whole movement, 80 devotees. Now there's hundreds of thousands of devotees. But back then, only 80 devotees. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was just a brahmachari at that time. He was on a morning walk with Prabhupada, San Francisco. And he said to Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, how many pure devotees are there in the world? And Prabhupada said, how many devotees are there in ISKCON? Meaning that everyone in ISKCON is a pure devotee. And Prabhupada said it is like a mango. Sometimes the mango is ripe, like Prabhupada, it is ripe, it is sweet, it is pure. Right? And sometimes it is unripe, but it will become pure in due course of time. So Prabhupada explained that every devotee is a pure devotee because one day they will become pure. If you just stick to the process, Prabhupada, he actually guaranteed, you chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles, which is actually not that easy in Kali Yuga, right? To chant 16 rounds minimum and follow the four regular principles. If it's so easy, why aren't there hundreds of thousands of people doing it? There's 6 million people in this city, right? How many people are following the four regular principles and chanting 16 rounds minimum? Right? It's not an easy thing to do in Kali Yuga. It's actually quite a high standard. But Prabhupada said, if you can do that, and if you dedicate one lifetime to doing this, you will go back to Krishna. You'll be liberated. You're jivan mukta. So that is the system. So if we do that, we become liberated from the material energy. So that is what's going on here. It's a genealogical table of the daughters of Manu. In other words, this is the description of the population of the universe. It's grihastha life. How does the material world get populated? But there is a difference in this type of sex life. Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I am sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles, which is dharma. Krishna says, I am that sex life. In other words, if the husband and wife, the grihasthas, come together to unite, to create Krishna conscious progeny, that is dharma. Krishna says, I am in that union. Even on occasions in our tradition, the Lord or the pure devotee has ordered the devotees to have children. You see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the instruction. And then Srinivasacharya was born. Right? He said to the parents, he said, you have a child. Right? A great devotee will come from your union. He gave the order, so they united to bring that great devotee into the world. That is dharma. That is Krishna consciousness. That is liberated activity. But if you try to enjoy separate from Krishna, any activity, anything in this material world, bolga, then you will stay in the material world. That's the system. So Krishna says, bhaktaram jagya tapasam. Bhaktaram and savaloka maheshwaram. And suridam savabhutam. He says all these things. So many things he says. But he says, bhaktaram jagya tapasam. Krishna says, I am the bhakta. You are the bhakta. But I am the bhakta. It means it is for me. Right? You take the bhoga, it is for Krishna. Right? You can't take the bhoga. Rasika can't go behind the curtain and start taking, I'll take one bakora. Dip in the chutney and then like that. Yeah, what will happen? Right? Mama home will jump on the altar, haste. Right? Grab him, throw him out the door. No one will do that, right? Because that is for Krishna. Right? We are secondary enjoyers. Right? We enjoy everything that the king enjoys. We're living in the king's palace. Look at where you're living. Are you living in Malta? Look at where you're living. You're living in the king's palace. Who else lives in a house like this? Who lives here like this? We live here like this. Why? Because we live with the king and the queen. This is their palace. So everything they enjoy, we also enjoy. But they have to enjoy it first. Prabhupada said, even the deities' clothes, when they are old, and they have new sets and then the old sets, Prabhupada said, you can make them into clothes for the children. And the children can wear the deities' clothes as remnants. But if they go in there and put them on and start walking around the temple, we'll say, hey, you can't take them without, but if it's prasad, okay, the deity is finished, you take that, no problem. Same with the offering. You offer the bhoga, when Krishna is finished, okay, you get to have everything that he has. So that is the system, but Krishna must enjoy it first. So here the genealogical table is being described. So then he prays, I want a son like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Do any grihasthas ever pray like that when you have your kids? I want a son just like Krishna. I want a daughter just like Srimati Radharani. Right? That's a big desire. You have to be very qualified if you're going to pray for something like that. But here, you see in the Bhagavatam in different places, great souls, they pray, I want, it says Sutapa and Prishni. If you go to the 10th canto, it describes they prayed to have the Supreme Lord as their son. So powerful is that, we'll have children, but only the Supreme Lord himself. I mean, that's a very powerful prayer. Most of us, when we have children, we just pray, we just want a good devotee. That's what we're meditating. We just want a nice devotee. But when you meditate, I want Krishna himself, that's a very powerful prayer. But sometimes in the Bhagavatam, you'll see. So praying like this. So then, all three come. Brahma, Mahesh, and Vishnu. All three come. Do you imagine? Right? They walk through the door right now. Lord Brahma walks in. Right? Ducks down and then walks in. Right? And then Lord Shiva himself comes in. Right? And then Lord Vishnu comes in. Imagine. So all three come. So these personalities, we have to study the Srimad Bhagavatam, because if you do not study the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will not understand the correct Siddhanta. Right? Is anyone here from India? Right? So in India, people are very confused. Right? If you go to India, so many people, they don't understand the proper Siddhanta or the correct Tattva. In other words, who is related to who? How does Shiva relate to Vishnu? How does Brahma relate to Shiva? How does Brahma relate to Vishnu? How does Vishnu relate to Narayan? How does Narayan relate to Baladev? How does Baladev relate to Krishna? They don't understand the actual... The Bhagavatam gives us a very correct science to understand all this. Unfortunately, these days, people in India, they don't understand. So they just make... Khichdi. Throw everything in the pot, mix it all up. Oh, nice. Even many years ago, I was in Africa, 1993, with Brahmachari. So we're traveling in Africa, raising money for the temple. So we're traveling through Africa. So then we went to one town. I'm just thinking where it was. It might have been Harare or something. I can't remember. Zambia or Tanzania or somewhere. Right out the east coast of Africa. So some town. So we arrived there, and then one devotee gave us a contact. Said, oh, there's an ISKCON Life member living there. So I said, okay, so we'll ring them. And then we said, can we come and stay with you? We're brahmacharis. We're in town. Can we stay with them? They said, okay, come. So we went to their house. But they were Mayavadis. Most people are Mayavadis in the world these days. You know, most people, you speak to them, at the end, it's just Mayavad philosophy. So they're there. So they said, oh, we're ISKCON Life members. We said, oh, very nice. But when we started speaking to them, I understand. Okay, they don't understand. So then, you know, we're very strict. We're devotees, you know, brahmacharis. So we said, do you offer your food? They said, yeah, we offer. And I said, who do you offer to? And I said, oh, Krishna, like this. And everything sounded correct. So I said, okay. So then, you know, they cook something for lunch. They say, come for lunch. So we came. And then we arrive. And I said, have you offered? And they said, yes. I said, who to? I said, we're offering to you. And I said, you're supposed to offer it to Krishna first. I said, you are Krishna. We can offer to you. Everyone is Krishna. You can offer. Well, then, this is not the system. I said, okay, we will offer. We will offer. We will do the cooking like that. So we had to explain these things to them. Most people do not understand. So this is the system these days. Everyone just throws everything in together. Just like every year they have Rath Yatra in Jagannath Puri. Right? But then on the television, you know, they broadcast the Rath Yatra every year. So Jagannath is coming, Baladeva is coming, Subhadra is coming. But then if you listen to the television, while the Rath Yatra, they say Balaram is an incarnation of Shiva. Krishna is an incarnation of Vishnu or something. And then Subhadra is an incarnation of Durga. No understanding. Right, just throw everything in the pot, mix it up, and whatever comes in, yeah, as you like. Everything is nice. Whatever you believe, I believe that is good. I am God, you are God, no problem. Right? The bicycle is also God. Right? Everything is God. It is all one, no problem. Right? So this is not the system. So this means, and you know, when I go to India on pilgrimage, you know, each year then we get a train from Calcutta to Puri. We go from Mayapur to Puri, so we travel. So every year, practically, without fail, I sit down on the train and some Indian gentleman sits next to me and he starts to preach to me because he sees I'm dressed like devotee. Says, okay. Krishna, And then, you know. And then he gives me the 2017 version, which is up there, you know, different person every year, but, you know, I'm just waiting every year for the, you know, last year was the 2016 version and the 2015 version. It's like, you know, what is the latest speculation? So we're, you're going to Puri, then they tell you, you know, who Jagannath is, like as if we don't understand who Jagannath is. Right? So they tell us, oh, Jagannath is this, Jagannath that. So we have to correct them, right? So we correct them. Now, one time I was sitting on the train with Radha Raman Prabhu. You know Radha Raman Prabhu? Burujan Prabhu's disciple. And he comes here sometimes. So we were sitting there on the train, then the man started. So Radha Raman looked at me and he says, do you want to do it or do you want me to do it? I said, I'll do it. He said, good, I'm chanting. He said, you do it, brother. So the first thing I point out to them, you know, whenever we're preaching, I said, have you read the Bhagavad Gita? Because everyone always quote, Gita says, Gita, Bhagavad Gita, What does the Gita say? You know, we teach the Bhagavad Gita, we study the Bhagavad Gita, we lead our life by the Bhagavad Gita. We don't just pull out incorrect references or even obscure references and just take them and say, oh, this is the Bhagavad Gita. No, you have to understand it in totality. Right? So unless you understand it, don't preach it. Right? And then I say to people, have you read the Bhagavad Gita? Usually not. Right? But have you read the Bhagavad Gita? And higher than that, and more important than that even, have you read the Srimad Bhagavatam? Because if you actually study the Srimad Bhagavatam in the parampara system, evam parampara praptam imam rajashyo vidu, right? If you actually understand it in parampara through Prabhupada's purports, you will understand the tattva correctly. Right? Shiva is not Krishna. Brahma is not Shiva. Vishnu does not have the potency of Krishna. Even Lord Balaram doesn't have the potency of Krishna. Right? So unless you understand and study these things properly, you're not qualified to speak. As Prabhupada writes, a fool remains unknown until he opens his mouth. Right? And then you know. You can dress any way you want. And you put your turban on and dress any way you want. Look very learned. As soon as you speak, everyone will know. What do you actually know about Krishna? What do you actually know? You must understand everything properly. Right? And sometimes even the devotees in ISKCON don't understand properly. No? Because you have to study under the guidance of a spiritual master. You must have qualified people who are teaching you the Siddhanta, the Tattva, correctly. So you understand everything correctly. So here, as Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport, then according to what you meditate on, that's where you will go. So Krishna himself says here, in the Prabhupada is quoting from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 25, Yanti Deva Vrata. So in this word, in this verse, the word sankalpa is there. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says vrata. So what do these words mean? Sankalpa, vrata. Yeah, determination, vow, right? If you want to get anything in life, you have to have sankalpa. Anything in life. You don't get anything unless you have a sankalpa. Sankalpa means a firm desire to achieve something. Unless you take a vrata. Right? How do you think you become advanced in Krishna consciousness? Hands up if you want to become advanced in Krishna consciousness. Right? We all want to become advanced. We don't want to remain neophyte devotees. That's not the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada didn't work so hard and establish his society so we all stay on the platform of Kanishta Adhikari. He wanted us to come to Majjhima Adhikari, not just Majjhima Adhikari, but advanced Majjhima Adhikari. And eventually, Uttama Adhikari, like very advanced devotees. But you don't become a Majjhima Adhikari or an advanced Majjhima Adhikari devotee, unless you are very determined, unless you take vrata. Now, that's why we take vows at the time of initiation. This is a serious movement. Right? It is serious. You have to take vows. If you want to get somewhere in Krishna consciousness, you have to become firm and fixed in determination. 16 rounds a day for the rest of your life. Hands up if you can do that. Okay, one. That's good. Two. Yeah. Every day, 16 rounds. We will guarantee we will do that. That's a big vow. Right? It sounds easy when you're 18 years old sitting in front of the fire, right? And you throw your banana in, your guru mahar is there. Yeah. 16 rounds a day, no problem. Right? But as you get older, you realize actually that's a firm vow. That's you have to organize your life. You have to become very serious in Krishna consciousness. Many devotees cannot maintain that vow their whole life. Right? They go through periods where they can't always chant 16 rounds. That's that. Some of the Grihasthas struggle. You know? One Grihastha was telling me the other day, he said, I usually finish my final 8 rounds after 9 o'clock at night. Yeah. Just trying to keep up with his Grihastha life. Well, it's a firm vow, it's a fixed vow. But you have to be determined. And it's a test from Krishna. If you want to get Krishna, if you want to attain Krishna, if you want to go to Goloka Vrindavan, if that is your desire, you have to take a firm vow. Vrata means I am fixed. Ekeha kuru nandana. Right? Just one pointed to get back to Goloka Vrindavan. Right? And Krishna will test you along the way. And even when you're leaving this world, when you're liberated, and you leave this body and you're going back to the spiritual world, you have to pass through all the different layers of the material universe. So you have to go through earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. And as you travel through, you are offered everything within that element, that elephant. There are elephants there, actually. There's elephants, the four elephants at the side of the universe, but not them. But if you go through, then you have to, everything that element will offer you. So you go through earth, what does earth offer you? Right? All the beautiful scents. So as you're going through, do you want to go back to Krishna or do you want to stay here and enjoy all the beautiful fragrances in this world? Right? Then you go through water. What does water give you? Right? Taste. Right? I want to go back to Krishna. Are you ready to go back to Krishna? Or do you want to stop in the water element and enjoy pizza? What are you more attached to? Huh? Pizza and lasagna? Or you want to go back to Krishna? So you have to be firm. I'll go back to Krishna or I'll stop here and just have one pizza on the way. Right? And then you go through fire and you see all the beautiful forms in this world. Are you ready to let go of that? And then you go through air. And you hear all the... No, not air. What is air? Air is touch. Right? So touch, all the things you can touch in this world. Right? And then through ether, all the beautiful sounds. Then you have to go through mind. And you have to deal with this. Right? Everything that you can think of and desire. Then you have to go through buddhi. Intelligence, how to get everything you want. And you have to get rid of your false ego. Are you willing to give that up? The false ego. Right? Instead of being Krishna's servant, I want to be the enjoyer fully. So it's a test. Even when we're going back to Godhead, we get tested one more time by Krishna. And then when you go back to Krishna, right? One devotee, Revati Nandan, he used to be a sannyasi, Revati Nandan Maharaj, Prabhupada disciple. Revati Nandan, he asked Prabhupada one time, he said, Prabhupada, is it possible once you go back, because Krishna says in Gita, once you go back, you won't come. He said, is it possible to come back? And Prabhupada thought for a moment. Prabhupada said, it is possible. He said, generally it does not happen. But it's possible. You can go back there, get back, and then do the whole thing again. Come back to the material world for another millions of lifetimes. Unless it is out of your system completely. Krishna will always give you the choice. But generally, if you think of coming back again, Krishna will give you smaranam, remembrance, what it was like last time. And you think, oh no, I have to come back to Albert Park. Right? It's snowing. Yeah. It actually snowed in Victoria yesterday. Great Ocean Road, down near the farm, there was snow. Near Lawn, there was snow. That's how cold it was yesterday. September, it's supposed to be spring. And we've got snow down there. Right? So you want to go back to Krishna or you want to come back and have snow? Well, that's all right in the material world. Maybe we'll come back. Maybe we have a desire. The devotees ask Prabhupada, is there snow in the spiritual world with Krishna? Prabhupada said, yes, but it is warm. Sometimes there's snow in Krishna's pastimes. In Goloka Vrindavan, sometimes snow will come, but not cold. Warm snow. How is that possible? Everything is possible for Krishna. So here, the point is, if you want to get to Krishna, you have to be determined. Do you actually want to get to Krishna? Or do you want to stay in this material world? We will be tested. And it's easy to say, yes, I will. I just want Krishna. And Krishna says, really? You just want me? You say, yes, I just want you. And he said, really? Okay, now, let's see. What about this? Oh, wait a minute. I wasn't expecting that. Oh, what about this? Krishna will test you. And the tests get bigger as you become a devotee. More advanced, Krishna will give you bigger tests. It doesn't become easier. If we put a sign outside the temple, what it's actually like when you join this movement. You join the Hare Krishna movement, and then we write, actually, it gets more difficult. Right? If we actually knew what it was going to be like when we walked through the doors. I walked through the doors here in 1989, first time, walked in. Who was the first devotee I ever saw? Jagannath Balabhapur. He's like my father, my mother, my Shiksha Guru. So many things. Looked after me. 8 years I lived in the ashram here, right? I didn't wash my clothes one day for 8 years. He washed my clothes every day. I never asked him, but I came home every day. Everything was washed and folded. 8 years. He would save me sweets. You know, because I was Sankirtan devotee, I'd go out and collect for the temple, come back. He really, you know, looked after us. So much seva. Devotees don't understand how great he is, actually, how much service he has done. But first devotee I saw, I walked in the temple, right? He was sitting on the step just over there, right, reading a book very peacefully. And I thought, that's what I want. I want to be just like him, peaceful and happy. And right. And then I joined, and I haven't been peaceful since I joined. Right, as soon as I move in the temple, okay, now go to Crossways. I thought I was just going to sit here in the temple. Right? I go to Crossways. Then, after 2 months in Crossways, they said, okay, now you're a Sankirtan devotee. I said, okay. Does that mean I can sit and read? No, no, out. Sell books, collect. Right? Go out the door like that. Many years. And then they made me a temple president. And then they made me a Sankirtan leader again, and now I teach, and then they said, now go and run a farm. Go and do it. Yeah? No manpower, but you just do it. Right? There's this con. Right? There's no peace here. Right? And then 1993, I wanted to take Brahman, it was 91. I wanted to take Brahman initiation. Become Brahmana, second initiation. So my Guru Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, came. Right? And then I went upstairs with him, up there, after Mangalati. And he said, why do you want to take Brahman initiation? Very, you know Tamal Krishna Maharaj? Very, heavy. Like that. Very heavy. So he said, why do you want to take Brahman initiation? I said, because I want to chant Gayatri Mantra, because then I can be peaceful. And he said, do you think Arjuna was peaceful on the battlefield of Kurukshetra? I said, no. he wouldn't give me Brahman initiation. He made me wait 3 years. Right? 91, he said, next year. I came back 92, he said, next year, 93, and then he came like that. Because my consciousness was not correct. Because I wanted to become Brahmana for the wrong reason. Not means if you take second initiation, means you can do more service for Krishna. Not that you just become peaceful and just chant Gayatri mantras and then, right? And then after that just read some Bhagavatam. No, you have to do seva for Krishna, whatever is necessary. One time Prabhupada came to Mayapur. Prabhupada traveling around the world, and he came to Mayapur. And then he looked into, there was only one building there, right? The Lotus building. And he looked into the field and there were some crops. Rice needed to be harvested. And Prabhupada said, why they're not harvesting? And why the devotees are not harvesting? And then devotees said, oh, Prabhupada, because they are Brahmanas. And Prabhupada said, Brahmana means you will do the needful. He said, tell them to go out and you harvest. And Brahmana will do whatever is necessary. Not I am Brahmana, I cannot. No. I will just sit on the Vyasasana and speak. No problem. No, you have to go and do whatever is necessary. Even one time they had a preaching program in Bangladesh, right? They're all devotees traveling through different towns. So His Holiness, Jaipataka Swami, one of the biggest gurus in ISKCON, very powerful, powerful personality, empowered by Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya. Right? So then one devotee was there. He was telling me they were traveling and then they're having stage programs. So they set up big stage, sound system, everything. But they're traveling, so they just had to take everything with them. And then they were looking, program was about to start. They couldn't find Jaipataka Swami. Where is he? They're looking for 1 hour everywhere. Right? And then finally, someone found him. He was under the stage, right, lying on his back, right, fixing the sound system because it broken down. So Maharaj is there, 1 hour, fixing everything. Maharaj has been looking for you. Huh? You have to go and speak. He said, how can I speak? The sound system's not working. So what am I going to say? No, 1 hour, Maharaj there, fixing everything, came out, dusted himself off, got up, and then now speaking. 10,000 people. That is Brahmana. That is devotee. Devotee means you do anything for Krishna. I can't do. I am the Brahmana. You go and ask someone else. No, that's not devotee. That's not the system. System is whatever you do, whatever you're asked to do, you take that as coming from Krishna. Right? If the temple authorities, your guru, my spiritual master, he said, whatever the temple authorities, you take that as coming from me. They give you some instruction, that is coming from me. So if your authorities, they say you do some seva, you do some. Why do we chant Hare Krishna? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram 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 Hare. Are you chanting every day, right? How many times you chant? 16 rounds. How many names is that? ,728. Every day we're chanting that many names of Krishna. Okay? Every day. We chant 16 rounds. Right? So you're chanting thousands of names. So Prabhupada said, what is Prabhupada's the most basic description or translation of the Maha Mantra? O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram 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 Hare. Then some devotee comes. Oh, Prabhu, can you? Oh, no, Prabhuji. I'm chanting. I have to do this. No. You're being asked to do seva. Of course, you have to be practical. Your first service is to finish your rounds. That's your first service. Right? Then all the other services, they come. Like that. So it means we have to be practical as well. But the point is, we have to be surrendered to Krishna. That is the essence. So we'll stop here. We'll see if there's any questions or comments, what we discussed. I'll see if there's any more questions and then I'll speak to them. Yeah, because there's two paths of bhakti. This is described by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar Devotion. So there's Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So you go from chapter 1 to chapter 14 of the Nectar Devotion. That is describing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. But the second type of sadhana is called Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. That's chapters 15 and 16. So Raganuga means it becomes spontaneous. Vaidhi is based upon fear. I have to do it. If I don't do it, then bad things will happen to me. Right? Rag is based upon spontaneity. Why do I chant my rounds? Because I'm doing it for Krishna. Because it will give him pleasure. Right? So it's not based on fear, it's based on love, as you're saying. So then how do we go from one to the other? That will just happen naturally over time when you get the right association. And if you stick to the process. Because if you want to stay a devotee for ever, for your whole life, right, and for many years, like you've looked around the temple now. How many devotees have been devotee for 20 years, more than 20 years? Put your hand up. Okay, one devotee, and Prabhu, he's been a devotee for a long time. So how many devotees have been devotees for 20 years? Not so many devotees. Right? So why is it that there are not more devotees here? Right? It's been 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, like that. Some people, they drop off or they become less committed. We should become more committed as time goes by, not less. That means our bhakti is healthy. Right? But you see some devotees over years then becomes less committed to Krishna consciousness. We should be more and more each year. So how does that take place? It's the association that you keep. Right? So you have to always look for the association of the more advanced devotees. And by keeping their association, you'll become more inspired and more inspired and more inspired to become more Krishna conscious over time. And then the fear will disappear because long term, you can't keep doing it just out of fear. Yeah, you've been devoted for 40 years. Oh, I have to chant my rounds otherwise, maybe the plane will crash or something. That's not going to sustain you for long term. So naturally that has to happen. That has to evolve. Is that okay?
When you say Balaram,
What did I say? What was my comment? I said, I think I said Balaram doesn't even doesn't fully understand Krishna himself. I think that's what I said. Equal, yeah. But the Brahma Vimohan Leela, basing on the Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam is our final authority. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. That is the... Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, but Krishna is the original person. And Balaram is the first expansion. That's the essence of the Bhagavatam. So therefore, I think I said that even Balaram doesn't fully understand Krishna. In the Brahma Vimohan Leela, even Balaram became bewildered. Well, that's the difference. Krishna can never become bewildered by Balaram. Balaram could and does sometimes become bewildered by Krishna, showing that Krishna is the... That's the essence of the Bhagavatam, that Krishna is the original personality. So I wasn't trying to put down Lord Balaram. But I think that's what I was trying to say. Yeah, that statement's there in the very end of the Krishna book. Prabhupada says that in the prayers of the personified Vedas. Prabhupada says it's not correct to say Krishna does not know himself, because you say Krishna does not know himself, you're limiting him. But then Prabhupada says as soon as he understands everything about himself, he realizes, oh, there's more to be known. So then the next moment he understands all of that, but then he realizes, oh, I'm more powerful than that. And then he realizes that. So it's like he's having a competition with himself eternally. So. Yes, sir. The question is, if Krishna is enjoying with his gopis, then why can we not also have gopis? Why can't we enjoy in the material world? We explained that in the class. In the spiritual world, Krishna is the Adi Purush. He's the supreme enjoyer. And everyone, all the gopis, all the cowherd boys, they're meant to serve Krishna, to be enjoyed by Krishna. When we come to the material world, we're meant to serve Krishna. We're meant to serve Radha Balava. Not that we think, I am the enjoyer. I can just have an ice cream, I can eat it. No, you have to offer the ice cream to Krishna. And then when Krishna is finished, if he leaves you anything, you can say, okay, now I will have some. Like that. Do you understand? Yeah. So in the material world, you can't enjoy separate from Krishna.
Okay. You were saying that after, when one soul passes through all the covenants in the universe, and then actually, even after he picks up false ego, still at the last test. Is that right?
Well, Prabhupada says the last snare of Maya is to think you are God. So that's what false ego, you'll be tested as you go through false ego. Because after false ego is Brahma Jyoti. So then on the way through Brahma Jyoti, you think, oh, this is nice. I am supreme. I'm part of the light. I'm part of the oneness. So that's also a test. So that's the last snare, to think you are God. So we have to give that up as well. Any other question? So today is the disappearance day of Srila Haridas Thakur, Namacharya. On this day he disappeared from the earth. Every day he took a vow to chant 192 rounds. You think your life is difficult? It means you have to have nam ruchi. You have to have taste. If you're going to chant, you know, we struggle with 16 rounds. 192 a day, he had so much taste. 64, silently, he was chanting. Right? 64, next 64, softly. You could hear him. Last 64, loudly, for the benefit of all the living entities. The most powerful type of chanting is when we chant and many other living entities hear it. That is called sankirtan. So then, at the end of his stay in this material world, because his body was getting old, he was finding it very difficult to finish his rounds. No. So then, Lord Chaitanya said to him, you don't have to chant 190. You're already perfect. You don't have to chant 192. You're older now. He said, no, no. This is my vow. I must chant. So he was trying. And Prabhupada says that if we do not chant our rounds, if we don't finish our rounds each day, he said, you are in a diseased condition. Your bhakti is diseased. If you can't finish your rounds every day, there's something wrong with your bhakti. And you must, that's the first service to the guru, is to finish your rounds. 16 rounds attentively. So then, he was given the benediction, Haridas Thakur, like Bhishma Dev, that he could choose the time that he wanted to leave this world. So Lord Chaitanya came to see him. Lord Chaitanya was coming every day to see him. He said, I don't want to stay after you leave this world. It would be too painful for me. If you leave and I'm left here without you, I cannot survive. So I will leave before you. So he took Lord Chaitanya's feet on his chest, and he looked at Lord Chaitanya's face, right, chanting the holy name. Then he left this world. Lord Chaitanya picked up his body and started to dance with his body. He said his body is pure, because he has used his whole life in Krishna's service. So he was dancing and chanting. Right? And then they went to the beach at Jagannath Puri and put his body in the water. And Lord Chaitanya personally bathed his body. And they dug a big hole on the sand dune at the back of the beach. A big hole. And then they placed his body. And they took Jagannath Mahaprasad and the rope from the Rath Yatra cart and different types of auspicious articles. They placed them in the tomb, in the pit, with the body of Haridas Thakur, and then Lord Chaitanya covered it. And he said, this place and this ocean have become purified by Haridas Thakur, Namacharya, the most elevated devotee of Lord Chaitanya. So if you go to Jagannath Puri, you can see the Samadhi Mandir is still there of Haridas Thakur. So then Lord Chaitanya himself went to the Simadwara, to the main gate of the Jagannath temple, and he begged prasadam from all the devotees who were selling prasad, Jagannath's Mahaprasad. He said, please, we want to have a feast in honor of Haridas Thakur's passing. So many of the devotees, they gave prasad, and Lord Chaitanya took, and he sat all the devotees down, and with his own hand, he went around, and he served everyone prasad. With the hand of Lord Chaitanya, he served all the devotees. But the devotees would not eat, because they're not going to enjoy before Lord Chaitanya has taken prasad. So Swarup Damodar Goswami, he said to Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu, you have to sit. Right? If you take, then they will take. So he sat down, they served Lord Chaitanya. He took prasad, he said, Hari, Hari! Right? And then everyone said, Hari, Hari! And then they all took Mahaprasad. And then this was the celebration of Haridas Thakur's disappearance from this world. So the Haridas Thakur ki. We could say more, but that's a long story. So Srila Prabhupada ki.